Hello and welcome back to The Check-In, our live daily forum here on KBIA for community, connection, and conversation over the airwaves. Thanks for being here and happy Monday. So everyone's lives have been deeply affected by this pandemic. All of us are hit in some way, but this virus has hit some groups harder than others. It's undeniable. In Missouri and across the country, people of color have been both diagnosed with and have died from coronavirus and COVID-19 at disproportionately high rates. For instance, African Americans make up more than 11% of the state's population, but they've had more than 37%. That's more than a third of COVID-19 deaths, and that's coming from data reported by the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services. That's right here in Missouri. Dr. Anthony Fauci with the National Institutes of Health said that this crisis is, quote, shining a bright light on how unacceptable that is. Also, people that are older and those with chronic conditions and in rural areas are also more vulnerable. But this outsized impact of COVID-19 on Black communities and other communities of color is part of the larger reality of racial health inequities in our country, our state, and right here in mid-Missouri. So today, we're going to unpack that a little bit more. We're going to be speaking with guests who have studied, reported on, and worked out in the community to address racial health disparities. We're talking with Michelle Tatey and Enid Schatz from MU's Public Health Program. Enid Schatz is the chair of the Department of Public Health, and Michelle Tatey is head of the Bachelor of Public Health Program. Both of them study health inequities, specifically among people living with and at risk for HIV. So we are going to go to Michelle Tatey and Enid Schatz in just a few minutes. You also can join the discussion. Do you have questions about or experiences with how people of color are impacted by a major health crisis like this one? Maybe you see it personally, maybe you see it as a provider, or both. And before we go to Michelle Tatey and Dr. Enid Schatz, we want to bring in Verna LaBoy. We were going to bring in Verna LaBoy in just a few minutes. Verna has worked with us and talked with us recently, but we want to continue to unpack this issue of health disparities and coronavirus. Ms. LaBoy is a health educator who works with faith communities of color. She joined us earlier this week briefly, and we want to have her back to unpack this. And she's going to be with us in just a few minutes. For now, Michelle Tatey and Enid Schatz, thank you so much for being here on The Check-In on KBIA.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, we appreciate it. So there's a lot going on here. We're going to bring in Verna LaBoy in just a few minutes. But when we talk about vulnerable communities during this crisis, there's a lot to look at there. And this is something that you two have worked on for a very long time. Let me start with you, Dr. Schatz. What are you seeing, just as an expert observer as this crisis unfolds, what is striking to you right now?
So I think one of the most striking things is that these disparities that we're seeing now are things that have existed for a long, long time, mm-hmm. and that they're not just due to the fact that these communities are more likely to have some of the underlying conditions that are exposed by and make worse COVID-19, but also that they are communities that we've seen great health disparities due to systemic racism and structural racism that create policies and practices that reinforce racial inequalities in major systems in our society. So whether that's the legal system, our education system, our healthcare system, all of these inequalities come together to make the experience of COVID-19 worse in these communities.
Dr. Schatz, what you're saying there, I think, is really important to always hear and always talk about, that it's something that's systemic that's happening, that as Dr. Fauci himself said, this crisis is simply shining a bright light on it, but it's there. And so we need to unpack what it is that's there and how this works. And you two spend your careers really doing this. Michelle Tatey, anything to add to that? What are you seeing as someone who looks at these things all the time? What are you seeing with this crisis?
Yeah, I mean, I think Enid said it well, really similarly, that I think that those of us who study health disparities know that these issues have been going on for such a long time. And sometimes it's disappointing that it takes a crisis to draw more attention to them. It does highlight them, but they've been going on for a long time. So The other thing, I mean, something I might add is that I think these things, like these big terms like structural or systemic racism, it can be overwhelming for people. And they're hard to think about, and they're even hard to study. And I think it's important to think about the policies Ian's talking about. And I always try to kind of connect the dots from these really large issues to day-to-day issues to try to understand actually how they're putting people at risk. So, for example, you know, if policies, racist policies exist that, you know, result in housing discrimination and result in more people of color living in areas that maybe aren't ideal, they might be more crowded, that might make social distancing harder, so the risk of COVID's increased. If they're living in areas that have more pollution because of different racist policies that are put in place that dictate where people can live, they might be more susceptible to asthma, and then they have that pre-existing condition. So I think that these issues can be very large, but it's important to take time to connect those dots and really understand that getting sick in any way isn't a result of just people's behavior. It's these situations that structure their being.
Okay, Michelle Tatey, very well said. We want to continue to connect the dots and sort of unpack what is going on with these disparities. What are the underlying systemic problems? And as you said, Michelle Tatey, racist policies that have created this problem that's been there and that a lot of people have been looking at and people like you have been researching for quite a while. So we're going to continue to unpack this. You're listening to KBIA's Noontime Check-In. We're speaking with Michelle Tatey and Enid Schatz of MU's Department of Public Health. We're also bringing in Verna LaBoy, who works with Columbia Boone County Public Health, about racial disparities. She works on the front lines of these issues with faith communities and people of color here. You can join our discussion. How do you experience your health? How does your race, your age, where you live, whether in a rural area or in an urban area or in between, impact your health? How do you see that as a patient? How do you see that as a provider? And how do you maybe see that you might be one and the same, someone who's a person of color who's a provider, person of color journalist? And Ms. Verna LaBoy, we have you on the line now. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Happy Monday.
Thank you. It's nice to hear your voice. Happy Monday. We were just saying you were with us earlier, but we want to continue these discussions. You were with us earlier, I think it was last week, and we just want to continue unpacking some of what's going on. But Ms. LaBoy, you told us last week that you were celebrating, I think, 4 years of working with Columbia Boone County Public Health and really working on the front lines to address these kinds of disparities as a health educator. How has the issues changed over the last 4 years for you? What have you seen during that time?
My goodness, I have seen transformations. First of all, we have to salute the City of Columbia and our Columbia Boone County Public Health and Human Services community. They looked at data. They saw the disparities. They were glaring disparities right here in our community with relation to the chronic conditions of hypertension and diabetes. And people of color were dying from preventative situations. Yeah. So they wrote a grant, which was funded by the Community Health Fund from the Boone County lease. So there's so much good going on in our community that sometimes doesn't get highlighted. And the way the good work is being funded is incredible. And everything is at risk right now with this current pandemic situation. You know, in the Black community, we have this saying that says when America catches a cold, Black folks get the flu or get pneumonia. So it's really overwhelming, but at the same time, the numbers here in Boone County don't reflect what's going on with the African American community in larger places like St. Louis, Kansas City, New York, Michigan. Here, if you look on the como.gov website and go there daily, you can get daily updates. And it tells you right there on the main page, if you hit COVID-19 information, that whites in our city make up 85% of the population. They have 81.1% of the COVID virus.
Okay.
With the African Americans, we make up 9% of the population here in Boone County and 8.8% of the positive COVID virus identification. So we're pretty much true to what the racial makeup is of our community. Now, what concerns me right now, and I'm kind of sounding the alarm, mm-hmm. I just don't want people to get comfortable with the low numbers in Boone County.
Sure.
Please do not get comfortable with these numbers. We've sheltered in place for a few weeks now. When we lift the restriction and all of those vulnerable populated people who have public face jobs in the service industry ease back into working full time and in crowds, how are we going to protect that vulnerable population? Those chronic diseases don't go away. The pandemic, the COVID-19, it has been kept in check because we've stayed isolated. When we start easing these vulnerable people back into the general population, whatever that looks like, we cannot let our guard down. We must be very careful and conscientious of doing that and not rush to it.
Okay. Verna LaBoy, thank you for this insight. I hear what you're saying, and it sounds like you're pointing out that Boone County is doing fairly well. It sounds like, or we're in line with what the numbers should
yes.
be somewhat. Any cases are too many cases, but you're saying that we're going at this proactively, and you're saying that you have been going at it proactively and triumphing for a few years now with this grant that you're on. What would you say are the methods that you're coming at with the community, that the community here and the people of faith communities and the African-American communities you're working with here, what are you doing that's helping us stay on top of this, and what do you want people to continue to do to stay on top of this?
The faith leaders, as difficult as it has been, has sheltered in place. They've mm-hmm. cooperated with the health department guidelines, with the mayor's shelter-in-place guidelines, and our faith community has been very, very cooperative. So going forward, we need them to stay proactive and listening to the guidelines and adhering to it, keeping their congregation and their families safe as possible because it's going to be a while before they come up with a solution or a vaccine or what have you. It's going to be a little bit. So
okay.
In the meantime, we're going to have to be very careful about easing back into services as normal. We will probably have some social distancing practices, and face coverings will probably be a fashion trend for a while.
All right. You're listening to KBIA's Noontime Check-In, and we're speaking with Verna LaBoy of Columbia Boone County Public Health about how racial disparities in health are impacting communities of color amid the coronavirus, what we're doing to triumph over that and keep the numbers at bay. What is your experience? You can join our conversation. Ms. LaBoy, are there larger actions that you would like to see local or state and national governments taking on to close the gap in chronic disease outcomes between racial groups generally and also with this pandemic?
I think the model that the Columbia Boone County Public Health and Human Services has launched in this community through the places of worship is a model that could be taken across the country, definitely throughout the state, and would benefit rural communities. You have places of worship, buildings all over, whereas you may not have medical facilities in some rural places. You've got usually a liquor store, a bar, a restaurant, and a church or two. So why not use these facilities as holistic health centers, not just places or communities where people go for their spiritual well-being, but total well-being, holistic well-being, for their emotional health, their mental health, their physical well-being, classes, a community resource center, per se, with a public health presence, because healthy is what we need all over the world right now. Yeah. And if we utilize this underserved, I mean, it's a secret weapon that we haven't even used in our communities. It's to turn around and look at the resources we have available right now. These places of worship where people have a lot of respect for in our communities historically would be a good place to start. So I would look at the model, that award-winning model, might I add, both nationally, locally, and state. Look at that model and duplicate it. It's very easily duplicated. And you could have public health communities and centers all over the state right now by partnering with the faith-based communities.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, Vernilla Boy, for reminding us of what's going on here and what you're on the front lines doing with people of faith and people of color communities here in Columbia and Boone County. Let me bring in Dr. Enid Schatz and Dr. Michelle Tatey. Let me start with Michelle Tatey. What are you hearing from Vernilla Boy? How does this reflect what you're seeing nationally, and what do you think of this model that we have here locally?
Yeah, so Verna, thank you. Verna is bringing up so many great points. I think number one, she's bringing up that I think the stronger you are going into a crisis, that can really shape what happens during the crisis and afterwards. So part of what Verna's saying is that they have some good models in place here, and that's probably what's helping Boone County do well where other places might be struggling. The other thing I think that's really important that Verna's saying is that, you know, not everyone might have the same resources. I mean, that's what Dr. Schatz and I started out talking about, that inequality is about not everyone having the same resources, but people can still be resourceful. And what Verna is saying is that there are all kinds of strengths in the community where, you know, African Americans listen to these trusted sources, so let's partner with them and use them. And it sounds like that's, you know, also what she's talking about as part of this model, being resourceful about what they do have. And, you know, I do see that in all the work I've done, again, being a strong way to handle health overall. And, you know, good setups going in are going to help people through the crisis. Because certainly when she's talking about the statistics in, when Vern's talking about the statistics in Columbia, you know, she's talking about rates kind of happening at levels that are expected for populations. And right. I mean, that's not what we're seeing nationally, right? You started out the call talking about some of that. I mean, the death rates are, you know, three times as high among, I think, African-Americans overall than whites. So some of what she's saying isn't what's being seen nationally, but like she's pointing out, still really good to keep in mind these models of what's working.
Okay, great. And as Verna says, let's not be complacent about it. Vernilla Boy, if you're able to stay on, do you jump in here with any other comments? Does that sound right to you that while we're holding steady here, we don't want to stay complacent and keep...
Well, the bottom line is we have to protect ourselves, because if one segment of the population starts to do very, very badly, it could go, I mean, it could crumble our infrastructure very quickly. So it's real important to reach out to these communities that we all have access to. We really do. We just need to turn around and look. You know, this model is amazing, of using the faith communities. It doesn't matter which faith, reach out to all of them. And I think right now it's the faith community behind the scenes that are keeping us keeping us held together.
Yes.
So can I just add to that?
Yes.
I want to emphasize the point that I think is most important about what both Dr. Tatey and Verna are saying, which is the role that communities play and the importance of having rapport and trust in communities. And I think one of the reasons in some places we're seeing such high rates among African Americans is that historically there hasn't been that trust in the healthcare system.
Yeah.
And so I think it's really, really important to have these links to community like Verna's talking about, whether it's through faith-based initiatives or other initiatives that build that trust and allow people to trust, whether it's the testing or their healthcare provider or their pastor, to help them connect to whatever services they need. And that really is at the heart of what public health is trying to do.
Well, and Verna, that is at the heart of what you are doing, Verna LaBoy, with the faith communities, is building strong communities, which are counteracting some of the problems that that Michelle Tatey and Enid Schatz, both of you, are sort of highlighting here, which is the systemic problems that lead to these things. I want to ask you both, and also Verna LaBoy, if you have comments on this. Pre-existing conditions can make people especially at risk. Also, stress. And there have been some sort of heartbreaking studies on infant mortality rates with African-American women showing that stress can lead to poorer outcomes, which is really saying something and cutting to the heart of what's going on with the systemic problems, I think, in our society when you have this in infant mortality rates. And then you have this with coronavirus. Let me go to Dr. Schatz and Ms. LaBoy, of course, jump in with any comments you have on this too. But Dr. Schatz, can you talk a little bit about how the pre-existing conditions, vulnerabilities, and stress lead to these systemic problems?
Sure. I mean, I think that in some ways it's the other way around. It's the systemic problems that lead to outcomes.
Yes.
And so the social determinants of health that we talk about, which are things like your age, race, racism, your socioeconomic status, your neighborhood factors, all of these things contribute to the likelihood of you being healthy or not. And we know that there are really strong connections between race and racism and stress. And we see that in outcomes around infant mortality, around maternal mortality, and often those cut across socioeconomic status. So it doesn't matter as much whether you're rich or poor, but more whether you're black or white, what your outcomes are. And so I think, we're seeing similar kinds of processes happening with COVID, that there are ways in which your health background and where you live and who you are mattering as much, if not more, than who you've come into contact with.
Okay. Ms. LaBoy, do you have anything to add to that?
Definitely. there's a lot of things going on in the world that that none of us have control over. But given the fact that you're black in America, is stress enough in and of itself? There are privileges that we'll never get to enjoy or have the privilege of having it. Unless you're a black person, you'll never understand that. And so that's why mitigating our biases is so important right now in this day and age, because this pandemic is showing us where we really are, America. I mean, it's really highlighting the social determinants of health, those things that we had no control over, that life has, the box it's put us in. But we have some good things going on in Columbia Boone County under the health department's radar, and that's live well by faith. So I'm one who always sees the glass half full. It's the way I do life, and it's making a difference. If we can just get people to slow down enough, and the pandemic has caused us all to hit the reset button, if we could just slow down enough and really pay attention to our health, all of us, pay attention to the food we're stockpiling, what's healthy, what's not. This is a chance, an opportunity to get out with our families and walk, because moving our bodies makes a difference. Drinking, hydrating ourselves and our organs. This is a time to stop, learn, and reset and develop some new habits and some new ways of doing things. We're all being forced out of our comfort zone right now in order to do life in a new way.
All right. Very well said, Ms. Verna LeBoy. Let me just say very quickly, this is the Check-In, KBIA's live noontime forum. We've just got a few more minutes if you want to join us and let us know how where you are coming from, whether it's your age, where you live, your race, and how that's impacting how you get health care and how healthy you are. Just in the last minute or so, we've all heard Ms. LeBoy saying, stop, learn, and reset. That's a really good solution to take with us. And Ms. LeBoy is on the front line of solutions to these really challenging problems when it comes to racial disparities in health. Dr. Schatz, anything to add when it comes to solutions for us to take away? What would you like to see?
Sure. I mean, I think that Verna's recommendations are all great for all of us at the individual level, but I would really hope that one of the things that comes out of this is a recognition that there need to be systemic changes as well, that the way that people interact with and are treated in the healthcare system, that the healthcare system itself realizes that that having employment-based insurance is not working, particularly when there's so many people unemployed. And really thinking about more community-based and structural level change that will make a difference for all populations, and particularly those that have been disadvantaged and have suffered these health disparities over time.
All right.
Can I add something right there? She is so right. You know, I heard through the grapevine that Medicaid expansion is going to be on the ballot. I'm just saying. Just putting it out there. Just sharing it with our listeners. Here's an opportunity.
All right. Thank you. We've got one call from Nikki. Nikki, what did you have a question or comment in our last couple of seconds here on the show?
I was just calling in because I just wanted to commend you about bringing up the systemic issues, because it's so easy to listen to the national headlines and hear about all the disparities in the Black community and how we're being impacted at harder, stronger rates than our white counterparts, and start to develop our own ideas about why that is.
All right.
So we can't talk about that without talking about the systemic issues that come into play. So just thank you. Is what I'm calling to say.
Thank you, Nikki. Thanks so much for calling. Thank you also to Dr. Michelle Tatey, Enid Schatz, and Ms. Verna LeBoy for joining us today with the Check-In. That's all for now. We're out of time, but we will be back tomorrow. Until then, I'm Janet Saidi. Stay well and stay in touch.